Well, I want to start off with first, as the Florida Hospital Zephyr Hills Chief of Cardiology, when it comes to Go Red for Women, why do you support this so strongly with the American Heart Association?
Well, and the thing is that American Heart Association actually started this movement in 2004. And the idea was to basically limit and help and decrease the incidence of heart disease and stroke in women. So because of that, there has been a lot of resources towards research and also for having a swifter action for women's heart health. So through the outreach and efforts of the Go Red for Women, today it is estimated that about 293 less women in the United States die from heart disease and stroke each day. So there is a significant improvement in the outcomes for women based on this movement. And people that would like to know more about the Go Red for Women can actually go on the American Heart Association website, and it's actually www.goredforwomen.org, and they can get more information on that.
Yes, and they do need to know what the warning signs of a heart attack are, because sometimes I think people miss them, don't they?
That is totally correct, actually. The thing is, most of the symptoms, we usually don't refer to it as chest pain, but rather chest discomfort, because one of the misconceptions that people will say, well, it wasn't a pain, it was just like a burning discomfort, it wasn't a feeling of being easy, and like a feeling of uneasiness in the chest. But usually the symptoms, the warning sign or symptom would be mostly chest pressure and discomfort. It could be a different sensation. It could be a pressure-like sensation, burning discomfort, squeezing discomfort. And it's mostly in the middle of the chest, but it can also be on the right or left side of the chest. The other thing to look for is sometimes you'll have radiation into the right arm or the left arm and into the jaw, and sometimes to the back also. The problem, though, is that sometimes people may not have that significant chest discomfort, but they'll have discomfort in the jaw or the arm, and that kind of leads to seeking medical attention at a later time. So mostly those symptoms. And then we look for symptoms that are associated with chest discomfort, like shortness of breath. They can have profuse sweating or diaphoresis, as we call it, and a sensation of feeling sick to the stomach.
Well, there's a lot of things you need to watch out for, but what are the warning signs for any of us personally that we may be at risk? Is it lifestyle, genetics, all of the above?
Yes. So the thing is, yes, genetics plays a key role, lifestyle modification. But one thing I would tell you is that, especially in like cases of women, 80% of these conditions, we can decrease the incidence of cardiovascular disease by changing our lifestyle. So for that would be like, if you look at some of the statistics in women, more than 50% of women over the age of 20 years are actually, by definition, either overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
More than 40% of women have a suboptimal lipid panel or, you know, cholesterol levels that are not optimal for their age. And then about 30% of women suffer from high blood pressure. So the problem here is the recognition, first of all, of these risk factors, and then the modification that will actually lead to better outcomes. So just to give you an example, if somebody has had a heart attack and we are able to convince them and they're able to quit smoking, the risk of subsequent heart attack is decreased by more than 40%. And I will tell you at this point, none of the medicines alone can claim to do that. So lifestyle modification definitely plays a role. It may not save every person there if they have lifestyle modification, but statistically it will lead to significant improvement in the outcomes.
And when it's something we can do ourselves, that gives us a lot more control. I think you feel a lot more comfortable when you know that you can help yourself.
Yes, that is totally correct. And you know, part of the helping yourself philosophy will come from, first of all, to have your own risk factor profile assessed. Like, you know, go to your primary care doctor or your cardiologist. Get your blood pressure checked, get your pulse rate checked, get an electrocardiogram or an EKG to see if there is any abnormality, and then at least some basic workup and lab work, including your cholesterol levels, which we refer to as a lipid panel, your complete blood count, your basic metabolic panel, and then hemoglobin A1C and the blood sugar levels, which will tell you if you're in the area where you need to worry about the presence or, you know, the inclination towards diabetes. So once we know those numbers, and we know what I refer to as our enemy, then we can always deal with it in a much more appropriate ways, because we do have the tools for that.
I do like that, know the enemy. What about current research that's underway on heart health for both men and women?
Yes, okay. So research, if you ask me, you know, I would just kind of put it into two or three different categories. So the first research is actually going on in the field of different drugs that are being developed and in research for a number of cardiovascular conditions like congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease. The second thing would be in the development of these very nice and neat devices that can help people with problems that are very difficult to tackle. So let us say we have a very significant blockage in one of the arteries, either to the lower extremities or in the heart, and it has a lot of calcium. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to open up that artery based on just putting a balloon across it, because the balloon cannot break that calcified plaque. So we have these very nice devices that we can go with significant improvement in the safety profile to the patients, where we can actually drill with these devices, and that makes the breaking of the plaque and delivery of stents, which is like a mesh, very easy to do. Just a third thing about the, you know, other thing would be that recently in the last, few years, it started in Europe, but now we have the technology available in the United States, is to help people who have a condition called aortic stenosis. So aortic stenosis is actually mostly an age-related phenomenon, although it can happen in younger people based on some congenital anomalies as bicuspid aortic valve. But those people usually need open-heart surgery or used to need open-heart surgery to open up the chest and then replace the valve. And now we can actually go through an artery in the groin called the femoral artery, and we can put a wire across that valve. We can open it up with a balloon, and then percutaneously, we can put the prosthetic valve without the need for open-heart surgery. That procedure is called TAVR, T-A-V-R, or transcatheter aortic valve replacement, and it is now widely available in the United States and in Tampa area.
That's great that we have so many options. I do have to ask, what drew you to your specialty of cardiology? Why did you choose that?
Okay, there are a couple of reasons for that. The main reason I would mention is that cardiovascular disease is the biggest killer of mankind. Mm-hmm. About a third of our population, be it men or women, actually die from either cardiovascular disease or one of its complications. So I felt that actually specializing in this field, it will give me the chance to help thousands of people that would come under my care in a very positive way. And the other important thing is also, just like many other American families, I have a strong family history of premature coronary artery disease. Mm. My father had a heart attack when he was only 52 years young, so I always was interested in this specialty.
Can understand that. So Go Red for Women is this Friday, February 3rd. How are you going to be supporting it on Friday?
Well, the thing is, I will tell you a little bit so that our people, you know, they kind of understand. We have these casting calls, which is actually sponsored by the Florida Hospital. Mm-hmm. And these are local events where we encourage men and women to come and share their story about heart disease, stroke, and heart health. These powerful stories actually can impact, can have a significant impact in our community and raise awareness. And actually, these stories are going to be compiled into a short film that will be featured at the 2017 Go Red for Women luncheon in May. So the first one of these casting calls in February, the first one is going to be on the 3rd of February at the Shops at Wiregrass, mm-hmm. and the second one is going to be on February 8th at the American Heart Association office. So I would encourage people who have something to share with the community to please join us and tell us their stories.
It's very, very powerful when it comes from somebody you know, and it's a very personal story. Well, we'll be wearing red on Friday, and Dr. Kadeen, thank you so much for your time today. And we encourage everybody to get more information to go to the American Heart Association website year-round, not just this Friday.